Good morning. My name is Emily, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Pason Systems Inc. fourth quarter and year-end results conference call. The contents of today's call are protected by copyright and may not be reproduced without the prior written consent of Pason Systems Inc. Please note that the advisories located at the end of the press release issued by Pason Systems yesterday, which describe forward-looking information. Certain information about the company that is discussed on today's call may constitute forward-looking information. Additional information about Pason Systems, including the risk factors relevant to the company, can be found in its annual information form. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn today's call over to Marcel Kessler, President and CEO, and John Faber, CFO. You may begin your conference.
Good morning, and welcome to Pason's fourth quarter and year-end 2018 conference call. With me here in Calgary today is John Faber, our Chief Financial Officer. I will start with the highlights of fourth quarter performance. John will dive into the details of our financial performance, and I will close with a brief perspective on the outlook for the industry and for Pason. And we will then take any questions. Pason achieved strong results in the fourth quarter of 2018. We generated revenue of $82 million for the period, an increase of 24% compared to the same quarter last year. The increase was driven by a 16% increase in total U.S. land drilling activity and partially offset by a 15% decline in Canadian land drilling activity. Internationally, drilling activity increased in all major markets, with the largest increases in Argentina and Australia. Revenue also increased as a result of significant uptake of new drilling intelligence products for Pason. Adjusted EBITDA was $39.3 million for the quarter, an increase of 41%. Adjusted EBITDA as a percentage of revenue was 48% compared to 42% 1 year ago. The driver of this improvement was the significant increase in revenue with high incremental margins. Pason recorded net income for the quarter of $20.7 million compared to $5 million in the prior year quarter. Capital expenditures for the quarter were $8.5 million, and free cash flow was $16.6 million. At December 31, 2018, our working capital position stood at $256 million, including cash and cash equivalents of $204 million. We are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 18 cents per share. At the beginning of 2018, we began reporting our revenue along five product categories to better reflect the changing nature of Pason's business. Drilling data contains all products and services associated with acquiring, displaying, storing, and delivering drilling data. Revenue in this segment increased 29% in the fourth quarter compared to the prior year period and accounted for 52% of total revenue. Mud management and safety includes products such as the pit volume totalizer, smart alarms, gas analyzer, hazardous gas alarm, and the electronic choke actuator. In the fourth quarter, mud management and safety revenue increased 16% and generated 28% of total revenue. Communications include satellite and terrestrial internet bandwidth, wireless rig site, and other services, and accounted for 8% of total revenue. As we indicated on prior calls, revenue in this segment is showing no growth as we share cost savings with our customers that have been achieved through the transition from satellite to terrestrial bandwidth. This allows us to provide a better user experience for our customers at a lower price while maintaining our profitability from delivering this service. Drilling intelligence bundles Pason's product offerings targeted at enabling our customers' drilling optimization and automation efforts. It contains products such as auto drillers, the Exxon Mobile Drilling Advisory System, Able Directional Advisor, and Pivot, a pipe oscillation system for improving slide drilling. Drilling Intelligence is currently our highest growth segment, as revenue increased 74% in the fourth quarter compared to the prior year and accounted for 8% of our total revenue. There currently are 200 active drilling rig installations of new Drilling Intelligence software. Lastly, Analytics and Other includes our Verdazzo Discovery Analytics product suite, various reports, and other revenue streams. This segment is not directly correlated to drilling activity, grew 9%, and accounted for 4% of total revenue in the fourth quarter. I will now turn the call over to John.
Thank you, Marcel. We were very pleased with Pason's financial results in the fourth quarter of 2018. In both the Canadian and United States business units, year-over-year revenue growth outpaced the change in the underlying drilling activity in their respective markets by approximately 15%. In the United States, drilling activity increased by 16%, while revenue increased by 31%. The Canadian business unit held revenue flat compared to fourth quarter of 2017, despite a 15% reduction in drilling activity. Our international business unit also saw impressive year-over-year revenue growth with a 38% increase. Year-over-year incremental adjusted EBITDA margins for the quarter of 73% remain in line with our expectations of midline contribution from revenue growth. Consolidated revenue of $82 million represented a 24% increase from the fourth quarter of 2017 and was flat from the third quarter of 2018. For the full year, revenue totaled $306 million, a 25% increase from 2017. Adjusted EBITDA in the fourth quarter of $39.3 million was up 41% from the $27.8 million in the fourth quarter of 2017 and was down 7% sequentially from the third quarter. Adjusted EBITDA for the year of $146 million represented a 49% increase from 2017. Adjusted EBITDA margins for the fourth quarter were 48%. Full-year adjusted EBITDA margins improved by 760 basis points from 40% in 2017 to 48% in 2018. Depreciation and amortization expenses were down 24% from 2017 and totaled $34.9 million. After coming in at elevated levels over the past few years as a result of significant capital expenditure program in 2014 and the capitalized R&D expenses associated with those products, current levels of depreciation and amortization expenses are starting to become more reflective of our expectations of annual capital expenditures going forward. Net income for the quarter of $20.7 million was up $15.7 million from the fourth quarter of 2017 and down $3.7 million sequentially from the third quarter. 2018 net income of $62.9 million was 150% higher than 2017. Capital expenditures in the quarter, including capitalized portions of our R&D and IT investments, totaled $8.5 million, bringing full-year CapEx to $23.9 million, in line with our previous expectations of spending up to $25 million in CapEx for the year. Free cash flow for the year totaled $85.5 million, including $16.6 million in the fourth quarter. Full-year free cash flow was up 30% from 2017 levels. At the end of the year, Pason had positive working capital of $256 million, including $204 million of cash and cash equivalents. Pason paid aggregate dividends of $59.8 million during the year, representing 95% of net income and 70% of free cash flow. Late in the fourth quarter, the company announced the implementation of a normal course issuer bid. During the final weeks of the quarter, 50,000 shares were repurchased through the program at an aggregate cost of approximately $920,000. I will briefly review the results of each of our operating segments. Our U.S. business unit posted fourth quarter revenue of $55.3 million, up 31% from the same quarter of 2017. Measured in U.S. dollars, quarterly revenue increased 27% year-over-year. Sequentially, revenue increased by 2% from the third quarter of the year. For the full year, revenue of $204 million represented a 34% increase from 2017 revenue of $152 million. Full-year revenue growth in the U.S. was driven by a 19% increase in industry activity, an 8% increase in revenue per EDR day, and a 343 basis point increase in market share. Drilling Intelligence showed the strongest growth and was up 78% year-over-year in the quarter and 61% for the full year. Operating costs in the U.S. business unit increased by 12% in 2018 compared to the 34% growth in revenue. As a result, segment gross profit increased 64% from $70.5 million in 2017 to $115.6 million in 2018. Our operating costs have increased, particularly in the Permian Basin, as we expand our capacity to absorb additional work. We expect to continue to build out our service operations in the area, even as the industry is currently slowing while it works through pipeline constraints. As a result, we expect margins will compress in the first half of 2019 as we better position ourselves for further market share and revenue growth. Our Canadian business unit represents our second largest segment. A significant decline in the oil price in the fourth quarter resulted in lower activity levels than anticipated in Canada in December. Fourth quarter industry activity was 15% lower in 2018 compared to 2017. Despite the pullback in activity, our Canadian business unit managed to hold revenue flat from 2017 fourth quarter levels at $17.9 million. For the full 12 months, revenue grew by 2% to $72 million despite an 8% decrease in industry activity. The successful introduction of products in our drilling intelligence category has been the largest contributor to a 12% increase in revenue per EDR day. Fourth quarter revenue from the drilling intelligence category was 92% higher than the fourth quarter of 2017. For the full year, drilling intelligence revenue increased 57% compared to 2017. Our competitive position in Canada remains strong, with 2018 market share coming in at 88%, consistent with prior year levels. Reported market share for the fourth quarter was more than 600 basis points higher than the same period of 2017. I would point out that as oil and gas drilling slows, the contribution from non-oil and gas rigs has a disproportionately positive impact on reported market share. At the same time, however, as the daily revenue from those rigs is typically much lower, there is a corresponding downward pressure on reported revenue per EDR day. Full-year segment gross profit for the Canadian business unit was 43% higher in 2018 compared to 2017 due to a 38% decrease in depreciation and amortization expenses. Our international business unit had strong financial results in 2018. Full-year revenue of $30.5 million was up 32% from 2017. Fourth quarter revenue of $8.7 million was up 38% year-over-year from the same quarter of 2017 and up 7% sequentially from the third quarter of 2018. We saw revenue growth in each of our international regions on both sequential and year-over-year basis. Our international teams have managed to exert strong discipline over costs as revenue has grown. With a 6% growth in operating costs in 2018 compared to the 32% revenue increase, segment gross profit for the international business unit was up 655% year-over-year to $7.8 million. In summary, Pason posted strong financial results in 2018 and is well-positioned to maintain its strong position, even as industry conditions have again become more challenging. In the U.S., our market position is strong. Interest in our newest product offerings continues to grow, and our capacity to respond to customer demand is increasing. Our Canadian business has significantly outperformed the declines in industry activity. We have retained and grown our market leadership position while delivering significantly increased value to our customers, particularly through our Drilling Intelligence product suite. Our international business unit continues to post strong revenue growth in each of its operating regions and has returned to much higher levels of profitability. The investments we have made over the past few years in developing new technologies are coming to fruition. We are commercializing new and less capital-intensive technologies. We have worked to reduce our cost base and are maintaining appropriate discipline over both operating and capital costs as revenue increases. Our cash flow generation capabilities remain excellent. Our balance sheet remains strong with over $200 million in cash and no debt. We are maintaining our quarterly dividend at 18 cents per share. We have returned additional cash to shareholders through the implementation of a normal course issuer bid, and we expect to continue to use this mechanism as part of our capital allocation strategy to offset dilution from the exercise of stock options. I will now turn the call back to Marcel for his comments on our outlook.
Thank you, John. We have increased our investments in R&D in 2018 compared to the previous year, and we expect some further growth in 2019 through run rate effects. IT expenses also increased as we are transitioning towards a more cloud-based IT infrastructures. Our capital expenditures will be relatively modest going forward, with a significant share of development efforts focused on software and analytics, and a larger portion of IT expenses being OPEX rather than CAPEX. We intend to spend up to $30 million in capital expenditures in 2019. From a macro perspective, the significant fall in oil prices in the fourth quarter was driven by U.S. shale production surprising to the upside, as well as geopolitics negatively impacting sentiments around demand-supply balance for crude oil. This has introduced more uncertainty for the E&P spending outlook for 2019, with operators generally taking a more conservative approach at the start of this year. This will once again push out in time a broad-based recovery in E&P spending. For North American land E&P operators, this means that investments will likely be closer to the level that can be covered by free cash flow, making the outlook for drilling activity more uncertain. Conversely, in the international markets, after 4 years of underinvestment, the national oil companies and independents are starting to see the need to invest in their resource base simply to maintain production at current levels. Based on what we can see today, we expect industry activity in North America to trend lower in 2019, with declines of about 5% in the United States and much steeper declines in Canada. Drilling activity in most international markets, on the other hand, should continue to pick up. In this environment, we have built flexibility into our plans for 2019, which gives us the means and confidence to address any activity scenario. Our market positions remain strong, and we expect to be able to deliver growth through higher product adoption going forward. We are the service provider of choice for many leading operators and drilling contractors, with Pason equipment installed on over 65% of all active land drilling rigs in the Western Hemisphere. Andy would now be happy to take any questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Dane Billick. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Morning, Dane.
Morning.
So, considering the ongoing headwinds in Canada right now, can you share how the pricing conversations have unfolded to begin the year? Has there been a lot of pushback on pricing, and what is your willingness to engage in discounts?
So, pricing conversations have not really picked up significantly, but it's probably fair to point out here that they have never really eased since the 2015-16 downturn. So I think our Canadian customers have always engaged, have always been very, very price sensitive, but we have not really seen a significant uptick since that time. And as you know from our history, our our willingness to engage in steep discounts is quite limited and continues to be very, very limited.
Okay, well, that's good color. Do you anticipate that new product adoption for the new drilling intelligence softwares will slow through the year on the softer market activity in North America, or is the rig idleness you're currently seeing largely concentrated in rigs that would not be candidates for some of these newer products?
So I think that the newer products are applicable to both the more traditional mechanical rigs, which still have a significant portion of market share in Canada as well as internationally, and there are also implementations of the new products of the new drilling intelligence services for the modern AC rigs. So I think we are quite, we're probably somewhat indifferent to the rig mix at this point. Mm-hmm. It's probably fair to point out that the initial increase in adoption of the ExxonMobil DAS drilling intelligence was quicker on the mechanical rigs in Canada and is now essentially spilling over to the U.S., while obviously the big price there is the adoption of those products on the AC rigs, which is slower, but essentially it proceeds at the drilling contractor by drilling contractor pace.
Okay, that's helpful. Internationally, was there any large customer wins in the quarter?
No, it was really broad-based across kind of existing customers, and you know, I guess we'd always have some measure of customer wins and losses in any of those regions, and so there'd be no significant outlier in that respect.
I think that the big win regionally, internationally, would have been in Oman.
Correct.
Yeah. Oman, okay. Great. And then just last one for me. Could you perhaps throw some financial goalposts around Pason Power? How should we be thinking about that from a spending and revenue perspective over the next few years? I fully recognize it's very early days still, but just trying to get a sense of how we should be thinking about that business.
I would suggest that you try not to model anything on the revenue or cost side. We don't, as you know, we're very conservative, and we don't really believe that it's going to be material in the short to medium term.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. That is all for me. Appreciate the color, guys. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Dane.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Robertson. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congrats on the quarter, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Michael.
You had mentioned the NCIB was active to the tune of just under $1 million during the quarter. I understand NCIB activity is dependent on where the shares are trading, but is this the sort of activity level that you would expect as a quarterly run rate when shares are in the price range that we saw in Q4?
Well, Michael, I'd point out that the NCIB only went in place in mid-December, and of course, the very end of December, there's very little liquidity in the market generally over the holiday season. So we've talked about using the NCIB as a mechanism to offset dilution from the exercise of stock options. So I think you should expect that we would do that in a somewhat disciplined, consistent manner, not necessarily trying to kind of time the market specifically. Now, mm-hmm. If we see sort of unique opportunities in the market to maybe do a little more based on market conditions, you know, we would consider that. But I think we're looking at it more as a measure of capital discipline over time as opposed to, you know, looking at the spot price in the market at any given day.
All right, that's super helpful, guys. Thanks for the color. I'll turn it back.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Your next question comes from the line of Ian Gillies. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Ian.
Marcel, in your prepared comments, you talked about the ExxonMobil drilling advisory system seeing pretty strong uptake on the mechanical rigs in Canada, and now you're starting to see some of that in the U.S. as well. I guess twofold question. Can you just remind us why this product is better suited for mechanical rigs and to whether you're actually seeing any uptake at this point in time from some of the AC super spec rigs? I guess probably more so in the U.S., just given some of your commentary.
Yes, absolutely. A good question. The ExxonMobil DAS algorithm or product suite, I should probably call it, is suited to all types of rigs. The implementation of it is simpler and therefore the commercial success is quicker with mechanical rigs. In the case of mechanical rigs, The ExxonMobil DAS software package is bundled with our existing auto driller and is essentially a simple bolt-on to the rig, and it's a turnkey operation. And that's why it was so quick in Canada, and it's going to be reasonably quick now for the mechanical rigs that still exist in the U.S., in the United States. For the AC implementation, it requires more software integration by way of middleware. I don't want to get too technical here, with the rig control systems. So there is more development work required. It essentially proceeds on a, as I mentioned, on a drilling contractor by drilling contractor basis. There is adoption, and I think probably of the 200 or so installs of new drilling intelligence software, I think close to 50 of those would be on the super spec AC rigs.
Okay,
it just progresses more slowly.
Okay, that's helpful, and maybe because it seems like you're getting pretty good uptake there, maybe something else that would be helpful is when you're in talking to customers about this, I guess, this product, I mean, is the competitive landscape, is there a lot of people trying to do the same thing you are, or is this a very unique product and that's why it's getting such strong uptake?
I think there are several players trying to achieve the same objective, so increasing the rate of penetration, minimizing the damage to downhole tools, and ultimately landing and drilling a better well. I think those are objectives that many people pursue. In terms of ExxonMobil DAS, that's obviously exclusive to us at this point, so nobody else has the ability to really use this specific technology. Now, that being said, our large competitors, who are the same ones that we would have competed with in the EDR space, have comparable offerings. Now, we believe that ExxonMobil DAS is clearly superior at this time. And some drilling contractors are also making efforts to try to do some of this on their own.
Okay.
So it's not completely a white space.
Yeah, okay. And if we take a step back and think about drilling intelligence, I mean, the revenue growth year over year was obviously robust. Moving off a larger base of revenue now, though, as we move forward into future years, do you think that growth rate inevitably starts to slow just because we're working with larger numbers at this point, or is the uptake, in fact, picking up and growth rates could, in fact, increase?
Well, there's two pieces, Ian, right? To your point, the growth rates are always large on small numbers in terms of absolute dollars or smaller numbers. So that'll obviously drive kind of the contraction in the growth rate. The other and more important element is what Marcel was referring to, which is simply that the next leg of adoption in that space is going to require more integration work with the contractors. And so while I think the interest in that is increasing, the time to implementation is going to be quite a bit longer in some cases, and so that will slow that pace of revenue growth, but clearly the interest growth rate is increasing.
Okay.
And an additional point on this is as well, so the drilling intelligence product suite is not static, right? We continue to invest significant resources in R&D in that space. And we expect to round out that product suite with additional products and services, the next one really being a more automated offering for directional drilling. Now, whether or not that's going to have commercial impact in 2019 is probably not the case. It's probably more of a 2020 product. But I think that there will be additional products here that will generate growth, certainly in the medium term.
Okay. That's helpful. Thanks very much for the color on the new products. I'll turn the call back over.
Thank you, Ian.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Elias Voskolos. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of questions. I guess the first one will be directed towards John. It's a comment you made about as rig counts in Canada decrease, you would see some downward pressure on EDR, revenue per EDR day. Of course, you mentioned the market share sort of potential pickup. But the question I got, is that inclusive or exclusive of peripheral ads?
Yeah, well, the market share is measured on an EDR basis, as you know, and that's why when we have these non-oil and gas rigs contributing disproportionately, it tends to drive the market share up. Now, these types of rigs take less peripherals, and that's why we have the downward pressure on revenue per EDR day when you have disproportionate contribution from those rigs.
Got it. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate the clarity. The last question I've got is on the R&D investment in the cloud-based infrastructure. First of all, I'll ask the question, might this be like Payson Power where it's kind of non-material, or is this something that would eventually enhance margins, contribute to revenue, or maybe even neither? Just some clarity, and I said only if it's material, or you see it as material at some point.
Well, I think the reason we sort of highlighted is that it does bring more of the spending to the income statement versus investment in capital equipment, servers, et cetera. So it does have a financial impact in terms of where some of that spend shows up in the financial statements. But the real business purpose toward the move to cloud-based infrastructure, it really comes down to questions around disaster recovery, business continuity types of things where you have sort of auto-replication and so much faster recovery times in the event of a disaster scenario. It also facilitates quite a bit faster velocity of software development because you can sort of essentially spin up the required servers and infrastructure to experiment much more quickly than if you had to order those boxes as physical devices and configure them. So I think that the real win from a revenue perspective is velocity of product development and our ability to experiment and try things quickly and get them in front of customers quickly. And then there's obviously some just the core backbone infrastructure enhancements that you get as well.
Okay, I appreciate that. That does help. And maybe just following up with that point that we made on how the spending is sort of shifting from capital to an income statement item. Clearly the EBITDA margin gains on a year-over-year basis, as you said, were trending about right, based on incremental revenue. Could that, what you just mentioned, be sort of a contributing factor to why it looked a little different on a quarter-on-quarter basis, or should I just ignore that question because I'm really micrometering the brick a little too finely?
No, I think that would have been a contributor because we did shift quite a bit more in the fourth quarter, so that we would have had some cost there in the fourth that wasn't in the third. The other and probably bigger driver of the compression on the EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter is the investments we're making in the Permian area and we're going to continue those investments, as we said in the call, Elias, around building our capacity in that region, notwithstanding the fact that we've seen some slowdown due to these pipeline constraints. We still really feel our biggest constraint in that region remains our capacity to deliver service at a level that we deem appropriate, not customer demand. And so we think if we can continue to grow that capacity, which will compress margins in the short term, there's additional demand there that's ready and waiting for us to pursue.
I got it. I appreciate the color on all those questions, and I'll turn it over. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elias.
We have no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back to our presenters.
Well, thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect. Have a great day.